So what I'm hearing is that you really needed that coffee.
I really needed this coffee, and I need this coffee to do what it's supposed to do. So don't be Bayern Munich. Achieve what you're meant to achieve.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. It's been a strange week for Bayern Munich. Despite being far from their best, the Bavarians secured a big 2-0 win over Barcelona in the Champions League on Tuesday. But they followed that up, however, with a dreadful performance and 1-0 loss to Augsburg in the Bundesliga on Saturday. Heading into the first international break of the season, Bayern are fifth in the Bundesliga and trending in the wrong direction. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about that with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Like I said in the intro, gentlemen, things aren't looking too great for Bayern Munich this week. However, we do have everyone on the podcast, so it is worth being a little happy about for that. But as far as Bayern are concerned, they did get the 2-0 win over Barcelona in the Champions League this week. Although I will say personally, I wasn't really all that convinced by their performance. I think luck was definitely on our side that day. And then Saturday against Augsburg, there's really no way of sugarcoating it. Bayern were pretty terrible. I think we had all the chances, everything we needed to put the win away. I think the effort wasn't there, and it wasn't great. So let's talk about those matches, talk about what that's going to mean for Julian Nagelsmann, who is now obviously under a lot of pressure, and then maybe give some thoughts on what needs to be done over this international break to get us back on track. But we'll start with the Barcelona game. I'll go to you, Tim. I know you said that you were hoping to go to the match, but you were unable to. But Bayern got the win despite being far from their best. And I have to ask you, you know, do you think that the result was fair, or do you think that Bayern maybe came out a little bit lucky?
It's been one of the, I guess, like recurring themes throughout the last few years, where you've got two teams that are maybe not as good as they should be. But like for all intents and purposes, it is a fantastic game to watch from a neutral's perspective. I think that at times Bayern made it really difficult for themselves, certainly at the back. I think as a whole, defensive performance-wise, Upamecano and Hernandez were flawless throughout at least the second half. I think that the back line generally were probably like the one like really, really good thing that you can't take much away from, but generally speaking, the whole game seemed to be, let's give Barcelona like a chance at this, which isn't, you know, there's no real room for charity in football, especially like so early on in the Champions League, and especially against a team like Barcelona, because this isn't the Barcelona of last season. This is a very, very different lineup. I think I said it last time we were on, like, turns out the only thing they needed was a completely new team, and now things seem to be working quite well for them. But I think Bayern, certainly in the second half, Bayern really did seem to turn things around. And there were times where, certainly after the 2-0, that really nice goal from Sané, but generally the great performance from Mazraoui and Musiala run like through the middle, I think that was great. And everything after that really did seem to, if not completely destroy any confidence that Barcelona had, things certainly seemed to be a lot more difficult for them. And that seems to be like a recurring theme, which I imagine we'll touch on when we talk about the Augsburg game. But it's quite frustrating that Bayern have had this, they've had that ability before. So why were they making it so difficult for themselves in the first half? Like really wayward passes, just people not really giving it all, like being quite slow to like turn around and putting players into like really difficult and quite dangerous positions. I think it's, to use that famous football adage, it was a game of two halves. And the second half, I think, was maybe not necessarily the best that we had played, but relative to the first half, there was such a disparity in how we started the game versus how we ended it. Because this is a game that, in, you know, you can play it 100 times, Barcelona could win 50 of them, Bayern could win 50 of them. Like it was very even up to a point. It's just that frustration of it didn't have to be like that. Like there seemed to be this idea of, okay, like we've played them last year, it wasn't that difficult, we can just kind of go through the motions. There were some good moments in it. I think like Mazraoui, his performance was one of the best performances that I've seen, especially from a newcomer, like this season. I think this was a really, really great game from him. Like to come on in that situation, having not really played much for Bayern, to then go into like a role that's fairly crucial in the whole scheme of things. Like Bayern are like a very fullback heavy team. So for him to show up and do the job that he did was really great. He was, you know, if it wasn't for Hernandez or Upamecano, I think he would have been man of the match for me. But I think that like it's quite misleading because, you know, Upamecano, Hernandez, Mazraoui, they did really well. Davies did really well. Like Sane, Musiala, they did really well. So like if like over half the team are doing brilliantly, why is there so much difficulty in the first half? And which then of course like spills over into all of the other games. Like you guys clearly have the ability to play really, really well. Why are you making it difficult for yourselves? Because that's something like I probably won't talk about the Augsburg game. I'll happily leave that to somebody else. And that's something that like Sebastian said after Augsburg scored, is like, why is it only now that they can like really turn it on? I think like the Barcelona game, if you can take like the second half and then build on that, then this team should be able to go a really long way. There are so many red flags before that do really require addressing like as soon as possible.
Looking at the Barcelona game, I think one thing that stood out to me was that our attack for the most part was pretty toothless. And if you look at the game, Sebastian, it kind of seems that Julian Nagelsmann went a little bit away from the 4-2-2 that had been working and reverted back to basically a 4-2-3-1, pulling Sadio Mane out from the center and putting him on the left. And so I think it's no secret Mane has been a little bit disappointing over the past few weeks, and Bayern just haven't looked really that great at all in attack. Do you think that Nagelsmann's kind of getting it wrong in the way that he's lining up this attack? And also, do you think maybe Mané is going to take a little bit more time to acclimate to Bayern Munich than we initially thought?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't overemphasize the tactical aspects of this. I think that's a problem maybe, but it's not the biggest problem. I think this is, from my perspective, more of a contributing factor to the bigger issue, which for me, the main thing is mentality here. And because when you have a mentality issue that affects like most of the squad, this is also a coaching issue for me. Because yes, of course, there can be issues where there are just differences between the players. Some players don't like the others, some don't like the coach, whatever. There can be problems like that, or there can be different groups who are just like not hungry enough anymore and whatnot. You can imagine a lot of stuff there. But here it is just affecting so many players, and I think it's not very likely that this is like there being different factions or anything, because we don't see anything like that. Therefore, a lot of this, in my opinion, is on Nagelsmann, I have to say. And I think, as I said, the tactics aspect of this is just a smaller contributing factor, because to me it feels like we were just much too happy with what we had achieved already in this first couple of games. Things had looked very good, and then it seems like everybody neglected kind of doing their homework, right? To me, it just seemed like Nagelsmann and the players were just, they were not doing the work anymore. And also, I don't get why we changed the system, because this system had really showed a lot of promise, and now we kind of watered it down. And also, I mean, we didn't only watered it down in terms of tactics, but we also watered it down in terms of effort, because I don't think you can play the system in a half-hearted kind of way. Because if you're going to play a lot through the middle, especially against defenses where they have two very strong lines of four people, one on top of the other, like in the Augsburg game we're going to talk about a bit more. You just have to be on point. You really have to take your chances. You really have to go for it. And if you don't do that, and if you just pull back, well, then it's not going to be any good, of course. I think these things came together in a very unfortunate way. And I see more continuity there than I would like, really, because these games before, and then also the first half mostly of the Barcelona game, and then the Augsburg game, we saw similar problems in these games, I would say. It is really the lack of effort. I think it was the sharpest contrast, really, actually, in the Barcelona game, you would have to think. It was also kind of bad against Augsburg at times. It was also kind of bad in different phases of the earlier games. But I think against Barcelona, it was very, very clearly to see for more than 50% of the game that Barcelona, they didn't necessarily have all the solutions. They didn't necessarily look incredibly strong themselves. It's not like they dominated the game or anything, but there was just no doubt that Barcelona was ready to go. They were pouncing on every chance, on every free ball. If you're playing like that, you just have to be so much better than the others. If you always take that half second to go for a free ball, you basically can't afford to lose the ball at all, because like out of like five free balls, the other guys are going to get it 4 out of 5, right? And then it's just pure maths then. If you're only getting 1 of 5, and I think that's kind of generous towards Bayern, then you just have your combinations have to be perfect. Your passes cannot be off, and you have to score those goals when you get the chance to. And we just cannot afford that. I think we were not like terribly bad against Barcelona, but I don't think it would have been fairer or anything if Barcelona had won that game. But yeah, there was a bit of luck involved there, I would say. And we cannot have that. We really cannot have that, man. We need to be alert, as the Barcelona team was, and play that football we played at the beginning of the season. These are the things I need to see from this team right now. And yeah, as I already said, for me, this is a Nagelsmann thing, really, and I really hope he steps that up very soon. There are just no excuses when your whole team is letting you down like that without there, having been any issues like that before or anything between those guys.
No, I agree 100% in that the mentality is for sure the biggest letdown over the past couple games with Bayern. And Garrett, what stands out to me a little bit is that this isn't really a new conversation for Bayern Munich. We used to have this conversation a lot about the players just sometimes maybe mentally checking out. And so do you think maybe there's an aspect of it after the incredible start that we had, the very beginning of the season, the incredible start we had, the way that the system looked, do you think something just checked out with the players, or maybe even with Nagelsmann as the coach, that they thought, okay, yeah, the Bundesliga is wrapped up, we can take our foot off the gas already, and that's kind of leading to what we've seen over the past couple weeks?
I think that's certainly a possibility, and I think that we've seen, like, especially against Augsburg, it looked a lot like Bayern were kind of going through the motions and expected that, well, you know, they're going to sit back, but we'll eventually get our goal and it'll be a win, and you know, so be it. But the only problem, as I have thought about it more, is that, you know, Bayern had drawn 3 in a row in the Bundesliga, and I think that if they were thinking that there was any chance that they could just show up and pick up all 3 points, even against Augsburg, they're fooling themselves. And I've been trying to kind of go back and look and see, you know, is there anything statistically that kind of stands out in terms of in wins versus when Bayern drop points? You know, what are the differences? And it's really, I mean, it's hard to do without spending a ton of time in it, but just something that kind of popped out to me immediately was just the and I'm using SofaScore's numbers, but it looks like in wins, you know, in the three wins in the Bundesliga plus the two Champions League wins, although, you know, both of those they didn't necessarily look very good, but in those wins, I don't count the Pokal win also because, you know, it was against a third division team, and also, yeah, all those caveats aside, in the wins, they've averaged about 16.4 dribbles per match. And then in the games, in the matches where they've dropped points, they've averaged about 26. And to me, I think, and again, this is just kind of me thinking off the top of my head based on what I'm just trying to wrap my mind around. And it seems like that the Gladbach game, in some ways, I don't want to say broke Bayern, but it put Bayern in a position where now they're not trusting the system as much as players, and Nagelsmann is struggling with his ability to put players in the right position right now. I mean, we saw it with some questionable substitutions. I mean, pretty much in almost every match, we've had some head scratchers of substitutions, some weird decisions in who's going to be in the starting 11, who's not. The fact that we haven't seen Gravenberg hardly at all, despite all the fixture congestion things. I think that they're struggling to know, you know, who is the guy that we can kind of lean on. And it seems to me that there are several players that are trying to be that guy and maybe don't have quite the skill set or whatever to do that. And so I said a few weeks ago, and I can't remember which match it was because they're all starting to blur together now, just with frustration about how Bayern have played. But it looks to me like Bayern are going through what some players look like they're going through the what Sebastian was talking about, where it just doesn't seem like you're giving maximum effort. It seems like you're kind of going through the motions. But it seems like as a squad, there's this almost overtrying where you're kind of, in hockey you call it gripping the stick too tight, where now all your shots, because you're so focused on trying to get that score, you're gripping that stick so tight that it's your shots are going real high, or you're shooting them too low because you're just trying too hard without relying on your teammates, without relying on the training that you've got. And I think that's kind of where Bayern seem to be to me right now. And I don't, it's really hard for me to know who do you set this, the blame at? And I think, I guess my answer would be that I'd set the blame at Jan Sommer and say, how dare you, you know, become, you know, the greatest goalkeeper of all time for a match and just stop this Bayern attack. Because quite honestly, up until that game, Bayern were playing well. It didn't seem like they were missing passes. It seemed like they were coming from all different angles and scoring in all different ways. And granted, that was against Frankfurt and Wolfsburg and Bochum, who have not, you know, they haven't set the world on fire, any of them. But then you come into Gladbach and you put on the performance that they did, you know, which we all were kind of in agreement. That was one of the best performances Bayern had had. And now all of a sudden they can't score. And so it just, to me, it seems like a team that's kind of lost its way and they're struggling to get it back. My hope is that the international break will kind of give them time to breathe and step back and kind of reassess what needs to happen. But yeah, I don't know. Given the performance that we saw against Augsburg, it's going the wrong direction. It's not getting better. Mm-hmm. There was some hope that it was getting better after the second half against Barca. You know, some luck got on Bayern's side and to come away with 3 points and a clean sheet in that match. But it's clearly not there. And so to me, I think that they need to continue to try new combinations in the 11, and they need to play some guys that maybe haven't played. I would like to see Gravenberg play, because I would like to see some new ideas in the lineup. And I think he's in the games that he's been able to play, he's played really well. So I'd like to see that. But ultimately, I think they're still gelling, unfortunately. And that's kind of an excuse making sort of situation. But I think this team is too talented to be as bad as they've shown in the Bundesliga the last several matches.
Yeah. Now, I think that there's a lot of wisdom in identifying that Gladbach game as, I don't know, maybe the game that brought Bayern back down to earth. Of course, it was a game that Bayern definitely should have won, and Jan Sommer had an incredible performance. But if you go back and look at the matches leading up to the Gladbach game, and then the ones following the Gladbach game, which, by the way, since the Gladbach game, if we count that one, Bayern have secured only 3 out of a potential 12 Bundesliga points, which is atrocious. But leading up to it, Bayern were in a very clear 4-triple-2. There were two forwards, two kind of attacking mids who may drift out and play a little bit wide. And the next week, Bayern go and face Union Berlin, and we see Nagelsmann send out a pretty clear 4-2-3-1. And since then, Bayern haven't got back to that 4-triple-2 that had them playing so well throughout the start of the season, even playing so well against what was a very tough Gladbach opponent. So I'm not saying at all that tactics are necessarily everything that there is to blame here, and I think that mentality, like Sebastian said, is a huge part of it. But I do think that, and I'm not saying this because I want to be overly critical of the guy. I fully support him 100%. Don't think Bayern need to consider getting rid of Nagelsmann at all. But I do think that he's maybe pulled a Guardiola and overthought it a little bit. And I think he needs to get back to the basics. Definitely stop putting Sadio Mane out on the wing. We bought him to be a center forward type of player, someone who's going to get goals, and putting him out wide completely negates any effect that he has on this attack. And so, sure, maybe tactics aren't to blame for everything, but I do think a large part of it has been that very subtle shift from a 4-triple-2 to that 4-2-3-1.
I would like to add real quick, I think that also makes it kind of very interesting how Nagelsmann reacted to the Gladbach game. If we now think, okay, that was probably when he started to really, really stray from the way he had laid out for this team. Because he seemed to think that game went really well, despite the draw. I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure why he reacted like that. Maybe that was just him covering up his concern. Basically, he was a bit scared that it would go wrong, and then he just wanted to seem extra positive about it. Or it was just a huge miscalculation that he only realized later. But I think it's very, very interesting that was the game after which he said, okay, this was maybe our best game, and so on.
I was just going to say real quick, I agree with him, by the way, that was our best game. Yeah, it was 20 shots on target. Jan Sommer saves 19. So yeah. I'm with him there, but sorry, go ahead, Garrett.
No, I totally agree. I think it's a combination of, you can't score with your best performance, and now you're going into this stretch where the fixtures are just coming one after another, and trying to figure out how to rotate these players in a way that's going to keep the team coming together. Because we got to remember, even though there weren't, like, it's not like we added a ton of players, and it's not like De Ligt has been, you know, in the starting 11 from the get-go. It's really, I mean, as far as new players, Sadio Mane has been basically the only new player that's come in and been part of the 11 every match, for the most part. But you're still, it's almost like you're starting an entire new 11 when you lose Lewandowski, because now the whole calculus of the way that you're playing on the pitch is different. You're not funneling towards that one focal point. you're all over the pitch. And so when this fixture congestion comes into play, now he's got to rotate a little bit to make sure guys aren't, you know, just dropping left and right with injuries due to fatigue. He's also thinking in the back of his mind, like, okay, well, we have to fix whatever was wrong against Gladbach. Because, you know, as amazing as, you know, several of those saves were by Sommer, there were also several saves that were very routine and should have ended up in the back of the net rather than being shot right at him. So I think it's a combination of so many different things. And I think it does have a lot to do with the fixture congestion, even though Augsburg, you know, players knew there wasn't a match coming soon. They had just come off of several matches in short time frame. And so maybe they were looking ahead to that little break, some of them, and maybe some of them were, you know, just mentally tired. I don't know, but it seems like it's a combination of, you know, not having complete faith in the system from both the players and Nagelsmann, because Nagelsmann changed the system as he was trying to rotate. Also that rotation and the fixture congestion and all those things. It's just so multifaceted. It's hard to pinpoint one thing. And that's why when we've had the conversation about, like, well, who's to blame and what's to blame, it's just so hard to put your finger on it because there's so many different things that could be involved here. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens coming out of the international break, especially given that so many Bayern players are in national teams as well.
Yeah. Well, now we get to kind of have the fun conversation kind of building off of all of that is take a look back. And Tim, you get to answer this one. You know, were Bayern wrong not to sign a true number nine this season? I'm not suggesting that would fix all of the tactical errors or the tactical, shortcomings that we've seen. But do you think maybe Bayern got it wrong in only signing, you know, Sadio Mane, maybe Matisse Tell can be thrown in there as well, and trying to go into the season without a quote unquote true number nine?
I don't think so. I think working without a pure centre forward striker, whatever you want to call it, I think that's kind of becoming quite a popular choice among big teams. Granted, Man City went and bought Erling Haaland, but before that, they pretty much had two seasons without a centre forward. Liverpool, they've kind of got Darwin Nunes, sort of, I guess, but otherwise they've been working without like a proper centre forward for a very long time. Real Madrid as well, Benzema is that number nine, but he doesn't really play like that guy that just stands in the middle waiting for the ball to come to him like other players would. I think it is becoming a much more preferred way of playing because you don't have to funnel everything through that one guy in the middle. I think this is something that Bayern have really suffered from over the past, not necessarily a decade, but like a really long time. Attacks have been quite predictable. You get the ball on the side and then you put it into the middle and hopefully there's a guy there to sort it out. I think what we saw in the first few weeks without having a number nine was we can be prolific. And this kind of comes before like this slump that Bayern are in. That we've seen that this team can be prolific and very dangerous and unpredictable without having everything go through one guy. Because even now, our top goal scorer in the Bundesliga has got four goals. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how this was I think statistically Bayern's best start to a season in however long it's been. I think if we kind of ignore what's happened in the last couple of weeks and just focus on what can be done without a centre forward, I don't think that's really, you know, that conversation's always going to come up of, oh, this is why, like they lost that one guy. He was the solution to everything. He was also the problem with a lot of things as well. There were so many times where if you couldn't get it to Lewandowski, nothing really happened. As me mentioning him again, if you couldn't get it to that guy, then you were kind of you hit a dead end and there was no alternative. If anything, I think it's a good thing that Bayern, in a sense, kind of have to struggle without him, because it shows you need to think of something else and you need to be creative. And I do think that the players at Bayern's disposal do have that ability to be creative. Like, I think this is probably, although maybe someone might disagree with me, I think this has probably been the best that we've seen Sané recently. Like, this has been him when he has been a guy looking to make things himself. This is Musiala at his very best. Even before the slump, what we saw of Mane was somebody getting the ball in the net. Yes, a lot of these goals were flagged for offside, or they were just not counted for whatever reason. But we can be a very prolific team without having that number nine. So in that sense, I don't think it is a bad thing that Bayern went into this without that clear replacement. With that being said, there have been times where you do need that tall guy in the middle, which is why I'm all for seeing Choupo-Moting off the bench. Of what I've seen of Mathys Tel, I've liked him enough. But granted, he has also been playing out wide quite a lot. So if I had it my way, in the dying minutes of, well, not the dying minutes, but maybe the last 20 minutes of the game against Augsburg, that would have been the opportunity to bring him on. Now, there is that other issue of, there's like that report that he wasn't brought on because Kimmich was complaining about playing at right back, and so Nagelsmann put Stanisic on and Kimmich could move forward. That's like a whole other issue to worry about. But if things had gone the way that they could have gone, Mathys Tel could have gone in the middle, and if that means that, you know, you take off Müller or you take off whoever it is, it doesn't really matter. At least you have that guy in the middle capable of doing what we've seen him do before. I do think that given if I had the choice, I would still continue with that 4-2-2-2. And a big problem here is that Serge Gnabry was such an important part of it. And if he's playing at the level that he's at now, he shouldn't be anywhere near it. Like, he shouldn't be anywhere near the starting 11. But then you need to make concessions to say, okay, if we don't have this guy steps up. So I'm not sure if Müller's really doing like the best that he can do in this system. But I don't think that's because there isn't that centre forward. I know he did an interview recently where he said, you know, there were times in the past where you could look behind you and you'd know that you'd have that guy. And that kind of got clipped up almost out of context, because he does go on to say, but then sometimes that holds you back because you have to look for that guy. I think there's like reasons for and against going forward without a centre forward. I think it's good to have one off the bench. I think somebody like Choupo-Moting or Mathys Tel, providing he plays through the middle, having those options, I think that is good. I think that's a really good thing, to have alternatives, to have variations, to just say, okay, this like plan one isn't working. Let's go to plans 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. But I think given the opportunity, Bayern should continue without having a centre forward, purely because there's too much reliance on one player in that setup. But at the same time, you do need to be able to make that concession to say, okay, this isn't working. Luckily, we have this player to come in and change things around. But yeah, all in all, like, I'm fine not having a centre forward in the starting 11.
Yeah, Garrett, Sebastian, I'm interested to hear if either of you disagree to an extent with what Tim's saying there.
No, not really. I mean, the only thing I kind of disagree is I'm not particularly happy seeing Choupo-Moting in that system, because I think, yeah, he's just, you don't want to change everything there, and I think he's just an odd kind of fit there. Haven't liked him then when he played recently. I think that was in the Augsburg game the last time we saw him. I'm not a huge fan. I would much rather see Tel, because Tel has been looking good whenever he has played, and I would just like to see more, honestly. If it were Xerxes or someone like that, if we still had Xerxes or Vidovic for that matter on the squad, I would not mind seeing either of those. Just not the biggest Choupo-Moting fan right now. I think he has looked awkward in this system so far.
I would agree with that, and I would agree with Tim as well, that there really, I don't fault them for picking up a true number nine, because I just don't think there's that many of them out there right now that would be the type of player that, that we'd be looking for. I will say too, I mean, I love Jewel Moutang, not so much for his footballing skills, but just I think he seems like a really cool dude and all sorts of things. But and he can do a job well enough. His job being, you know, the striker that comes off the bench. And I think in some ways he kind of proves that Bayern didn't need a number nine, because, you know, when he comes on in games, Bayern are struggling to switch between those systems. So you're either going to have to decide that you, because I mean, if anybody is on this team, a true number nine, it's him. So if you're going to try to have this focal point guy that you're sending crosses into the box for and relying on to play the number nine, then you have to switch up the way that you play normally, and Bayern are struggling to do that. So I think in many ways, he's kind of the test case. Like, if we had a better version of him, would Bayern be in a better position than they are now? And I don't think that they would be. And so I think, honestly, like, the more we talk about it, the more I listen to you guys talk, and I know, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who don't like the answer, but I think it's just a matter of, this is just going to take a lot of time to switch. It take a lot more time than it looked like it was going to take to switch from having that focal point and playing that certain, that type of system and that formation to this new style that Nagelsmann's trying to bring in, where it isn't one focal point. It's many different attacking options. And I think it's just going to take time, and it's just going to be ugly. And Bayern aren't super patient when it comes to those things. And they don't need to be, because they won 10 Bundesligas in a row and all that. But still in good shape in the Champions League. And I think that that's kind of more of a focal point this year. And, you know, so I'm not too terribly worried that not having signed a true number nine is gonna hurt them in the long run. I think they'll get it figured out.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree with all three of you. I don't think, at least right now, I don't think it's time to say, hey, Bayern got it wrong. So one final question as we start to wrap this up. I think it's pretty clear that the international break has come at just about a perfect time for Bayern Munich and for Julian Nagelsmann. I think another draw or another, you know, game with dropped points would have just sent the club into even further of a spiral. But there is a big, pretty big, well, it would traditionally be a big game against Bayer Leverkusen, but Leverkusen are in such a bad position, it may not be such a big game waiting for Bayern at the far end of the international break. And so to kind of wrap things up, Sebastian, we'll start with you. If you're Julian Nagelsmann, you know, you have extra practices. Of course, you'll be missing some players, but, you know, what is your focus over this international break to get the team back on track? What do you do if you're him to get this season heading back in the direction it should be going?
All right. So first step, I think, is make up your mind. How hard are you ready to stick with what you had initially laid out, what the initial plan was, what the initial system was looking like? Do you trust it? I think you should trust it. And if you trust it, really do it and don't kind of halfway compromise like we have been doing. Second step is either Nagelsmann or maybe with some help of others need to make clear that this is a really, really problematic situation right now and that this cannot go on. In the past, people like Hoeneß or sometimes Sommer or even sometimes Breitner were people who brought this up and made sure that everybody knew that this is not fun and games anymore, that things need to improve, and they don't need to improve in a couple of weeks, they need to improve right now. And I think, of course, losing that game has already helped a bit. If that would have been another draw, I think it would have even been harder to get that message properly across. But I think this is really the core here, talking to players, making sure that they really understand this and that everybody knows that Nagelsmann has a plan and that he's the boss here, and that it cannot be okay to just play like that, like with half the effort that you would usually expect out of those players. I think that's the most important part. Then I think he should go back, either go back or go forward here, basically. But I would say, in terms of the squad, I would either say we need Sabitzer back or maybe give Gravenberg a chance. I would not necessarily start Goretzka next time, because I think that has gotten us in the wrong way at this point. Not necessarily that I would not want to see Goretzka in this system, but I think it hasn't come as naturally to Goretzka as it has to others. So I would say maybe not do that in the next game. Have somebody set the example who felt really at home in this already, and I think that's Sabitzer. So I think personnel-wise, that's also important that you kind of rely on the players you can trust to do what we want them to do, or what hopefully Nagelsmann also wants them to do. I think those are kind of the most important steps. But of course, also think about what we talked about just now. What is your plan B going to be? What are we going to do when we feel like for some reason we are not getting through with what we have been doing for, let's say, 60 minutes or something? What are we going to do in that last half an hour or something of games when we need to crack this defense and we are struggling? And I think I feel like right now that maybe Choupo-Moting is not the answer. Getting someone who's very adept at scoring, like Tell, maybe. I think he, technique-wise, in his finishes, he's one of the best we have already, along with people like Musiala. I think a plan should involve not turning everything on its head, but making some tweaks to the thing we normally do. And I think it's on Nagelsmann, of course, to figure it out, to find solutions. Maybe it could involve like playing with more width and so on. But you need to have more. Like as an option than just, okay, now we drop a number 9-ish kind of player in there and hope for the best, because that's obviously not the solution. But as I said, I don't think completely switching everything is the solution either. So this is definitely homework for Nagelsmann. He needs to personally work on. He needs to think this through and hopefully have a couple of practices to implement something like that. I think that would also be very, very helpful. But still, I think mentality is the main thing there.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And before I, you know, give Garrett or Tim an opportunity to add something, I want to say I like what you talked about with like the central midfield partner to Joshua Kimmich. I don't think Leon Goretzka has looked particularly great, especially for going to shift a little bit back to that 4-2-2. I just want to say I think this is a huge opportunity for Ryan Gravenberch, who's been left out of the Netherlands squad for this international break. So he's going to be at all the trainings. I think he's got a great opportunity to show Nagelsmann why he should be in the starting 11. Nagelsmann has already praised him, despite not really giving him the minutes that back up what he's saying. But yeah, I just think it's a big opportunity for Gravenberch heading into the next set of games. But Garrett, Tim, anything to add about getting this Bayern team back on track after the international break, if you are Julian Nagelsmann?
I was going to wait for Tim to respond before I thought of anything, but you said Gravenberch, and that's who I really want to see in the starting 11 coming out of the international break, because of exactly what you said. He's going to be in all the trainings. He's going to have an opportunity to kind of work out some of the issues that apparently he and Nagelsmann have, or that Nagelsmann has with him as a player that he hasn't been brought on. And I just want to see something different. I want to see them try something other than Goretzka. I will say this about Goretzka: as poor as he's looked in the two Bundesliga matches he's played in, I do appreciate that he's shooting the ball, because it seems like as much as I know that there's been some real frustrating shots that he's taken, but there's been so many times where guys are just not shooting the ball. And so I do appreciate that. But that being said, I think we've done this, the Sabitzer and Kimmich thing, enough to know that it's a fine option. We've done Goretzka a few times and he's just, he's just not ready for this system yet. Gravenberg's been here from the beginning and been healthy, and we just haven't seen him play next to Kimmich much. I don't think we're to the point yet where we drop Kimmich out instead, you know, and I don't think Nagelsmann would even consider that anyway. But yeah, Gravenberg, I would love to see play. I would like to see Sadio Mane kind of get a chance to come off the bench instead of starting, because he's just been not looking great the last several matches. So give him a little bit of lead time into a match, and I'd like to see exactly what Sebastian said. I think they need to come up with a good plan B. Like, how are you going to switch up what's going on without switching up the system entirely? I'm trying to think of a good like analogy, but I can't. But basically, you don't want to get whiplash trying to change the way that you're playing so drastically that it looks worse than what was going on before. You want to have a nice option that, okay, plan A isn't working, let's just shift gears here a little bit, and now we're maybe attacking down the middle a little bit more fluidly than on the wings or what have you. And I think that's what Nagelsmann's really got to be working on tactically. But I want to see some different personnel, and to just, even though I know that won't solve the problem of cohesion, I think that we need to see some guys that are fighting for their spots and fighting for Bayern to regain their form. And so that's what I want to see.
Yeah. Tim, anything to add to that before we wrap this one up?
I very much agree with everyone else. I think everyone needs to be just kind of aware, if it's not me, it's going to be somebody else. You know, I think that kind of is almost highlighted by that Kimmich thing of like, I'm not playing right back, I'm a midfielder. I don't know how legitimate that is. I love Kimmich, but if that is the case, I don't want that mentality. I want everybody to be saying, in a pinch, I would play left back if I had to. I think that's why somebody like Lucas Hernandez is so revered, because he is just prepared to do anything for the team. I want to see more of that mentality, not just over the international break. I want to see that throughout the entire season. I think if there's anything that I'd love to see, is I want to see players, not just guys like Oliver Kahn. I want to see players say, we are all behind the manager, because I don't want to have this conversation every 18 months where there's an issue with the manager. Okay, the manager leaves, let's get another guy in. 18 months go by, there's an issue with the manager, let's get another manager in. 18 months go by. The last guy to stay as Bayern manager for more than two seasons was Guardiola. And that was a very long time ago. And even then, no club in their right mind would sack Guardiola. Like, whether you like him or not, he is not the guy that you sack. I want Nagelsmann to stay for a long time, if only for the fact that he actually wants to. I never really got the impression with Flick that he wanted to. I never got the impression with Ancelotti, or even Guardiola for that matter, that they wanted to be at the club. I think Guardiola was, he had an opportunity to use this before another job got available in the form of Man City. Ancelotti famously couldn't really be bothered. I want to see somebody that actually does want to be at the club stay at the club for a very long time. And if there's any reports of he's lost the locker room, Lisa Muller's posted something on Instagram, I'm going to be so unbelievably disappointed, because you can't have this same issue come up time and time and time again and not look to the players to say, maybe there's an issue here, instead of it always being on the manager. I've been very frustrated with it over the past however many years it's been. And sometimes it is the manager. And I think in this case, it is the manager, but there's also so many other issues that are going on that are kind of beyond his control. So that's something I want to see. I want to see players say, we fully support this guy and we'll do whatever we need to for him. That's something that I'd like to see. Obviously, they're all going to be on international break, so they can't really be doing interviews in the middle of a game. But yeah, that's the one thing that I'd want.
I think that's a great point and really a good spot for us to end in this podcast. And we're out of time anyway. So if you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a couple ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbyronpod@gmail.com or follow us over on Twitter at superbyronpod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're probably going to be there. As always, thank you for listening. Go out and tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.